our theme song.
You do?
I do.
Well, let me tell our audience that that was produced by me.
Clap, clap, clap.
The clap? You have the clap?
I feel like we need to also address the elephant in the room. The name change.
The name change.
To our three viewers that we have.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, it went from being called Bear With Us to Bear With Us Girl.
Girl.
Girl. And that was because...
Why is that, Mike?
I quickly discovered that we have competitors with the same podcast name.
And what does that mean?
And, well, we have two competitors. The first one is an all-girls lesbian high school basketball team.
Here's something I didn't want to ask you outside of this because I wanted to get it on audio. How do you know it's a lesbian school?
I don't. I just know it's all girls and they play basketball.
So here's the thing.
You do the math.
I did theater in high school and here I am. So, you know, sometimes stereotypes are there exist for a reason.
And then also we have one other competitor who is one girl who runs an all-Catholic podcast called Christ Bear With Us.
Christ Bear With Us. How did she come up with that? I don't...
Infer we pray.
Happy first day, everybody.
Happy
I don't know
first
if you're
day.
Listening to this on first day, but if any day you're listening to this is automatically first day.
I mean, every day is first day to me.
Every day is first day when you leave a trail of hair everywhere you step. Well, my name's Scott Frenzel.
I'm Teddy Bear.
And this is Bear With Us Girl. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Today we have a hot topic, highly requested.
Yes.
We're talking relationships.
Hot topic, sensitive subject, and sore one for the broken hearts.
Hot topic, but you can't buy a shirt about it at Hot Topic yet.
True.
Do you think they'll ever sell our shirts at Hot Topic?
No, but you know they probably will sell? Relationships.
Relationships. At Hot Topic?
Yes.
Did you ever go to Spencer's when you were a kid and there was like the 18 plus section in the back and you're like...
Well, I was afraid to go to Spencer's because...
Why?
I was told it was of the devil.
Oh.
So we weren't allowed to go in there. And if you would, I was genuinely concerned that I would be possessed because we thought, like, as growing up, we thought it was actually witchcraft done in that store.
Do you think possession's real?
No, but that's a whole other topic.
That's a whole other topic. Although, you know, in a relationship, someone could try to possess you.
Very true.
And that would
be
unhealthy.
I've had many relationships like that.
Really?
Yes.
What's the point of touching on it if we're not going to dive in head first?
No, I've had many past relationships that are possessive or controlling, and that is definitely not a goal of mine for the future.
Going forward.
Which, by the way, any listeners out there, Teddy Bear is single. So
Teddy Bear is single. He's hot. He's
furry.
A star. He's furry. I'm hearing only positives. He eats at the Gelson's once a day.
So if you're looking for a furry friend, hit me up.
I want you to be the next, like, bachelor.
Oh my god.
But not...
I feel like it would be less bachelor, more like Flavor of Love.
Yeah. Did you see Finding Prince Charming that they did on Logo TV?
Yeah, I was not a fan of it.
Yeah, me neither. I think they should have just... I felt like it almost was too... They tried to produce it too much. Like, let the gays pork each other. Like, let the contestants pork each other. Mm-hmm. Don't try to copycat Bachelor. Gays are messy. Let it be messy.
I think that's what they wanted. We wanted.
That's what we wanted.
Like we said, we wanted a gay Flavor of Love.
I wanted a contestant to quit on night one because he accidentally painted another contestant's dick in the bathroom. That's what I wanted, and I didn't get it.
I mean, you know they all shacked up.
Of course they did. But they were all there for stardom, too. You could tell.
Of course they were.
Of course they were. Well, anyway, relationships. Let's keep diving in deep. On the topic of possession, I think my philosophy...
demonic possession.
But that's how it can feel sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
My philosophy is you can't try to change a person. You can only help them be a better version of themselves.
True.
And that may sound a little like... Well, what's my better version of you? But I really think that when you're dating someone and you're looking for a partner, you have to look for those things in people that don't really change.
Well, I want to ask you, so what are your deal breakers in a relationship?
My deal breakers in a relationship? My biggest one, are they kind to waitstaff? Because I've been a server for years.
Yeah. Anybody who's ever worked in the service industry, like I've worked in retail And it's very similar where you have those same rules where how you treat people in the service industry is a sign of how you treat our relationship.
Yeah. Because I think on your first date, you know, you're on your best behavior. Mm-hmm. So if this person doesn't astound you when they're on their best behavior, I mean, it's only going to go downhill.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
So that's your only deal breaker? You don't have like an odd quirky one?
They have to let me stick my feet in their face at least once a month. No.
For me, I have...
Yeah, tell me.
They can't be a slow walker.
Oh.
Because I will get very annoyed with them, with life, with time, space, society, if they are walking slow.
There's nothing more disrespectful than being on the sidewalk and someone in front of you is walking so slow and they don't move over.
Mm-hmm. And then you move closer and try to go to the opposite side. Awesome, yeah. And they move to that side. Oh. All that goes through your mind is I'm going to pick you up, mm-hmm. place you into oncoming traffic, and continue on my way.
I know. That should be legal.
Oh, yeah.
If the purge was real, that'd be what I would do. Slow walkers. You're walking slow on the sidewalk. Guess who's getting stuck in traffic, Nancy?
Bye, Granny.
Literally. Bye, Grandma. Use that walker in heaven.
No, if it was an old person, that's fine. I get it. No. Like, you're there, you're old, you got places to go slowly. But when you are young, viable, and capable of moving those two left feet, speed.
Or when there's a group of friends, and they've decided to take the entire sidewalk.
And walk in a street. No, it's even worse. Huge pet peeve of mine mm-hmm. is when they're a couple holding hands.
Oh, yeah.
And you try and walk.
Oh.
And you literally walk into their hands, and they won't unclasp. Mm. I will literally just, like, try and push my body and pry through their hands until their fingers are ripping apart. And I see stuff on the ground. Now.
How do you feel about PDA?
I mean, it depends. There's levels of it.
Yeah.
And there's also the time and place. Mm-hmm. Like, at grandma's funeral.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't finger each other.
But you're going to do it in the bathroom. But funeral homes have great baths. The bathroom's always really nice. So, maybe kind of, if you can't afford a romantic night out, maybe go to a wake and then pork each other in the bathroom.
I mean, they got a comfy place to lay down.
Yeah. Try out some caskets. Oh, my grandma's in hospice. Can we try out a couple caskets privately?
That's a great cheap date.
I'm a genius. Grandma's funeral, maybe not. I'm not a big PDA guy. I'll hold hands in West Hollywood because it's West Hollywood, but I do get a little... I'm aware of my surroundings.
You know what's kind of sad is that, not to make this a sad podcast, mm-hmm. I still to this day have, when I grab a guy's hand...
Yeah.
I pause before I do it.
Definitely.
Because it still goes through my mind, is this okay to do?
Yeah. It's sad. Like, we really do have to be... I just say conscious of my surroundings. But yeah, it's that moment where you kind of, you know...
Like, am I allowed to hold this guy's hand on what street I'm on?
Yeah. It stays with you. Yeah, I live in the valley of LA, and it's not West Hollywood for sure. And so there's been times I've been walking around here with my boyfriend, and I'm like, maybe we shouldn't. Just in case, you know.
Which is sad, because you're a straight person, literally, could just tongue fuck a girl, pin her against a wall, and everybody would be like, give them a medal.
They'd applaud, yeah. People would just walk, like, applaud on mm-hmm. the sidewalk. Like, great, keep at it.
You're doing God's work.
Yeah, let's keep repopulating. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just not really a big PDA. I went on a date with a guy once at a restaurant, and he, like, tried to tongue me in the restaurant, and I was like, this is not my vibe.
But wait, where did he try and tongue you?
In my mouth.
I mean, like, were you mid-appetizer?
I think we were pre-food with drinks. But he was in his maybe 50, actually, and I was 20.
So were you more embarrassed about that you were with a sugar daddy?
He wasn't a sugar daddy. I never played that game. Okay. But,
he was a sugar-free daddy.
He was
Splenda.
He was Splenda a stevia.
Daddy. Stevia daddy.
Stevia daddy.
Stevia daddy.
I guess I was kind of like, I just want everyone to think you're my father. So don't change that. I just don't like it. I wouldn't make out with my current boyfriend in a public place either.
Well, also, this is a place for like a restaurant. It's not a makeout area. Like, no. If you kiss, that's sweet. That's romantic. But I don't think it's like, I'm not one of those people that craves to have everyone in the room looking at me.
Yeah.
Which I know that sounds odd given what I do for work, but that's different.
No.
Like, from a voyeuristic standpoint, I like it when it's in the right setting.
Right.
But on
it's like, on your terms.
But in like at Gracias Madre eating a burrito, I don't really feel the need to have everybody see that, like, I can drool on my boyfriend's face.
Yeah.
If I had a boyfriend.
It's kind of possessive.
It's attention seeking and possessive.
I, as a starlet, I have an interesting relationship with attention, because I like when it's for things I'm proud of, like a TikTok that I really put a lot of effort into, I think was really funny, this podcast, but like weddings, like I don't personally want like a big wedding, because I feel uncomfortable having that kind of attention on my relationship.
Oh.
You know?
Is that why, like, you on your Instagram, it took you a while to even really talk about your relationship?
Yeah, we...
Like, you hid him for a while. Like, everybody knew he existed, but nobody knew whose face or who he was.
Yeah, I think I really... This is such an exclusive. Wow. bear with us, girl.
I'm making you reveal.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to reveal it. We started dating, my boyfriend Will, we started dating in December.
Sorry, continue.
Oh, how hot. We started dating in December, and then we were, you know, like getting cozy, and then the pandemic hit. And we, I mean, I'll be honest about it, we did struggle in the beginning of the pandemic because we kind of had to restructure things, and he was very stressed with work, and I don't think that he was able to be the person that I was dating before the pandemic. And we weren't comfortable enough with each other for him to like tell me that. So I thought it was like me, and I thought it was over and ending, and like he wasn't into me anymore. And so I had to be honest about my feelings and say to him like, hey, like I just, you know, I know we're not seeing each other right now because of your work, but I like, I don't even feel like I'm dating someone. Like I hear from you like, you know, not that often, or we'll text like a little bit throughout the day, but it's not what it was. And so then we started talking on the phone every night, and that was a big change. And that like, that really showed to me that, you know, he was really in it. But I think just, we were really hesitant to like make things official. Actually, technically, when I posted about him being my boyfriend, he wasn't technically my boyfriend yet. Like, so we still hadn't made it official.
You tricked him into being your boyfriend.
So I, well, I asked permission, of course. I was like, I have to take my vest off, it's crinkly. I asked his permission, of course, if I could post that, but he was worried that life in quarantine would be different than life out of it, and that, you know, we might not know each, like, it might just be hard to make that shift, and so he was afraid to, like, he's also had some trouble in past relationships, and I think he made things official too quickly and told all his friends and family, and then it kind of came to bite him in the butt when the person wasn't who he thought that person was. So I know he was cautious with that about me, even though I'm really, you know, right away, I, you know who I am right away. I don't really hide anything. Like that's it. If you have, you either like me or you don't, there's no like slow reveal. I'm not Roxy Andrews with six wigs under here. Like I am who I am. But then I, you know, I finally was like, I need this to be official, because I feel like I know him. So then he was like, yeah, you're right, it's time.
And then I'm glad that you guys have made it like official and you've spoken about it, because my biggest issue I keep having is I get into what's called a situationship.
Yeah.
So listeners, what a situationship is, which you're probably in one too, is where you do everything that you would as boyfriends. You sleep together, you hang out all the time, you talk about meeting each other's family. You do everything that would make you be like, okay, we're boyfriends, but without the title, so that they can get away of being like, so I'm going to end this, and we never actually dated, so you don't get to feel bad. Bye.
Yeah. I think that's a huge problem for the gays, is that, like, the commitment.
Yeah.
And even if, like, I think your commitment doesn't have to be, you know, your relationship can be open. That's really common for gay people. Or, you know, you get to define that within the relationship. But that lack of, like, even having that conversation, I think, is really... So that's happened a lot.
Oh, my God. To the point where I'm just, like, almost jaded, because I know it's going to happen again and again.
Yeah. I always tell people when I'm asked for dating advice, and look, I'm no expert. Like, I think I just got lucky. The stars aligned.
You're not a Dear Abby.
And I've just...
Did you read Dear Abby as a kid?
No, did you?
I loved Dear Abby.
Well, we've loved got... Her. What? I have his book over here, but he's like the gay version of Dear Abby. And I can't...
Who's the gay version of Dear Abby?
I can't remember. It's Dan something.
Dear Danny Boy?
Danny Boy. No, I'll figure it out. No, I never read Dear Abby. You were a big fan?
I loved it.
Did you? Is there anything you took away from Dear Abby that you want to share?
I mean, I loved about Dear Abby because she was also, she was pro-LGBT. Mm-hmm. And like growing up in a small town,
yeah,
having her like in one newspaper article where she, a person wrote about how much they hated their neighbors because they were a gay couple. And Dear Abby basically wrote back to them and was like, well, the only issue is you, not the neighbors.
Wow.
And that was really
impactful. Dear Abby came down hard. Mm-hmm. She's like, listen up, little bitch. You're the mother effing problem. Wow, Dear Abby. Yeah. No, I mean, I tell people when they're, I think the one thing that I did right was I made it very clear that I was interested in a relationship. And I wasn't, I mean, I had plenty of hookups. I'm not going to lie about that. But when Will and I met on Tinder, and I was like very clear that I was like, yeah, I'm looking for a relationship. Not just, I think people kind of let themselves be, they let someone else steer when they really want to. And so then they get stuck in a, mm-hmm. a hookup thing or something like that.
So speaking of relationship advice, mm-hmm. I hear that some of our viewers on Instagram ask you a few questions.
We do have some questions from the viewers. So maybe we'll do a couple, we'll pause, talk a little bit more. I mean, we'll just see what happens. It'll be very fluid. So, Teddy Bear, this is a question that you should be able to answer more than anyone else that I know.
I have a feeling I know what you're going to ask.
How do you get your boyfriend to be more sexually active? One of our wonderful listeners asked.
Okay, that was not actually what I thought I was going to ask.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's a couple things you can do. First, and the easiest one, but also the hardest one, ask them.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds cliche, but if you want them to be this, you need to actually speak about it so that they know, okay, this is on my mind, and I also want to start learning about, like, what do you like?
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. They may not be as sexually active because you may not be doing the things that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they don't want to be with you. It's just you're not blending both worlds. So for something like that, I would start to open the communication and start asking and like learning about, okay, what are you into? What gets you going? What are things that we can do together to get turned on?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you want to also start with foreplay.
Yeah.
And foreplay doesn't always mean sex. Mm-hmm. Foreplay could be you guys go for a hike together.
Yeah.
And just getting endorphins and doing it together turns you on. Or you're working on a project and it just, you're close to each other and it's just making you feel a connection that you'd want to push further.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always just, let's get horny and fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Not like I'm rubbing your nip.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Because they always say in sex advice,
mm-hmm.
Coming and an orgasm should not be the goal.
Yeah.
Because when you make that, it becomes about rushing to the finish line.
Yeah.
As opposed to just enjoying the race.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do.
There's a long journey there.
Yeah.
Might as well enjoy the flight. Yeah, I feel inspired by that answer, so... I'm sure our listeners will too. All right, another good question, and they won't all be about sex, but it's a vital part. Or is it? Is our next question. Do you think relationships can survive without sex?
No.
You don't think so? Oh, I think they can. But in very special circumstances.
What is the circumstance
that's going to work? I think if you're two asexual people.
Okay. Go home.
I pulled out the Joker here.
Yeah.
Well, if you're two asexuals, I guess it can.
That's obvious. I'm talking about in a relationship where they're not asexual.
Yeah.
If there is no sex, somebody is finding sex somewhere else.
Wow.
You know it's true.
So maybe look through someone's phone right now. Yeah, no.
Don't do that.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, I think if
you... Yeah, I want to hear how can it work.
No, that's the only way I have.
Oh, okay.
I think if you're not feeling sexually satisfied in your relationship, then that's a conversation you need to bring up. And I think your partner...
It's hard, though, because like, I've been in relationships... Mm-hmm. This was years ago.
Yeah.
Where I was not sexually satisfied. And the thing I did wrong at the time was I was passive-aggressive about it.
Mm-hmm.
I would be... moody, I would try and drop hints about like, I didn't like this, I'm not happy, as opposed to just dealing with the awkward moment of saying, babe, I'm not happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think your partner or partner's response to that is very telling. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're like, what can we do? Are they willing to work on things? Or are they just kind of shutting it down and being like, well, that's your problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's very telling if that's someone you want to be with long term. With anything. you know, with anything in a relationship, I think you need to both feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if one person is kind of putting too much on the other person, that's not healthy. This one, somebody asked, one of our wonderful listeners asked, am I wrong for having high standards, especially living in an area with few men to choose from?
I mean, that depends. All right. So that depends on your version of standards.
Yeah.
If your standards come from a very vain value, all these things like the way he looks, his job, his outfit, things like that.
Yeah.
Then yes.
Yeah.
Because you're just being stupid, because also most likely they could turn around and be like, what makes you so special?
Yeah.
But if you have standards as in he has to respect me,
mm-hmm.
he has to be loving, engaging, interactive, those are different.
Yeah. I think there's healthy standards and unhealthy standards for sure.
Like, okay, so I had this was a good question.
Yeah.
So I had somebody on Facebook once pose a question. If you had a first date and the guy showed up wearing sweatpants,
mm-hmm.
would you decide never to ask for a second date? And when I saw that,
yeah.
I was like, the fact that you were even asking this
right.
on Facebook means you're the person I wouldn't want a second date with, not the guy who's wearing sweatpants.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, and I made this point to him in a nicer way that he actually agreed with me. I said, it's a first date. He owes you nothing.
Yeah.
The whole point is you're enjoying getting to know each other.
Right.
So the fact that you're assuming he needs to dress up to a level
mm-hmm.
means you're setting standards on somebody that you don't even know.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I did have a guy once, though, that we went on a movie date, and he was like, it wasn't my vibe. Like, he was wearing, we were seeing the Detective Pikachu. I hope he doesn't.
And he dressed up as a...
I hope he doesn't listen to this. He dressed up as Mewtwo. Now.
Yeah.
He was Jigglypuff.
And he dressed up as a Digimon.
No, he was wearing like a Meowth shirt and a Pokemon hat. And it was just a little too much for me.
Okay. I mean, that could be cute.
Well, here's the thing.
That's kind of cute.
No, here's the thing. You're right. I think for the right person, would be really into that.
But then when he got into the bedroom and he said like, Meowth, is that right? It was just gone for you.
There's a spark in my Pikachu. Do you want to plug it? Yeah, then it was gone. You know what I do appreciate about that? Now that I'm having some perspective in this conversation, I think that's who he is. And he was showing me who he is. And then it's on me to take that information and do with it what I want. But it wasn't... If he was the most wonderful guy, and I was... For me, and I was super into him... And then that was my only hang-up, then I think that's pretty shallow. But we weren't compatible. How do you feel? This isn't one of our viewer questions, but how do you feel about ghosting? Because I'm very anti-ghosting. I'm a ghostbuster.
I've been ghosted many times.
Yeah.
I managed to get ghosted during this pandemic.
You did?
Yes.
What were you doing? Like little FaceTime sessions?
No, it was a guy that I'd been talking to and had gotten him in pretty serious digitally.
Yeah.
And then just ... turns into a ghost.
Wow. I hate it. I think you should give... I think if somebody has invested time and possibly money into you, you owe them an end. And I don't even think you owe them a reason necessarily, but I think you need to put a button on
it. You just said it perfectly.
Yeah.
So here's what makes me mad is that most of the guys that have ghosted,
mm-hmm.
their version of end is they always say things like, you know, maybe we can try this again in the future. Or they say... I really need you as a friend. Like, I can't not have you in my life. They always say these trope lines that make me so mad.
Yeah.
As opposed to them just saying, it didn't work out. I think we're just not meant for each other's life. Because that gives the other person freedom to be like, go be hurt, but you got to move on. As opposed to, I want you to hurt, but never move on.
Yeah. I think when somebody ghosts you, I mean, I was ghosted by a guy that I was relatively into. Like, I still don't really know what I was looking for, and I knew I was moving here to Los Angeles soon, so I wasn't, like, crazy about dating, but we had a really good time. We went on two dates, and we had a good time, and then he ghosted me, and I was, like, it had been going so well in my eyes that I was, like, shocked.
That's
and I
the
was
worst.
Like,
I've had that so many times where it's, like, you're literally, like, oh, I thought we were about to, like, become boyfriends. Like, I'm genuinely shocked.
I was, like, did his phone... Like, break? Like,
you're like, what happened?
What's going on here? Because just radio silence. And I think that's wildly disrespectful. I mean, I think I'm okay with breaking up over text, if, you know, it's not the best way to do it. An in-person conversation or even a phone call is the better way to do it. But I think if your option is I'm going to ghost them or I'm going to send them a text, I would just send them a text and just say, hey, I really enjoyed getting to know you. It's just not the time for me.
I think I've just reached the point now where I'm so jaded. Mm-hmm. Next person that ghosts me, I'm going to literally write a text and just say, hey, I just want to politely ask, have you died? Yeah.
Oh, this is a really good question. How do you open up about your fetishes to your partner and include them in them?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
Because that's a very big thing you're revealing.
I don't think your partner has to be involved in your fetishes. I think it's really nice if they're willing to do them with you. I think that shows a good partner, but I don't think that should be an expectation.
I don't think it's expectation, but don't a lot of fetishes require like a second party?
Yeah, that's where I think open relationships come into play, where let's say your partner is really into feet and it's just not your thing, and you'll do it for them every once in a while as like a, you know, like you'll let them lick them.
So what you're saying actually is, so one of my friends, mm-hmm. they were open because his boyfriend has a fetish.
Yeah.
And like they had a great relationship, right. They had a great sex life, but his boyfriend had one fetish that the other boyfriend said, I won't do.
Yeah.
It was diaper play.
Yeah.
And he was just like, it's not me.
Yeah.
He's like, I love you. So mm-hmm. go do that with someone else.
Yeah. And I think
that works for them.
I think that's great. I think that's a really good way to use an open relationship. If you say, I can't satisfy this part of you.
Yes.
But I'm not going to hold you back from enjoying it.
And you just said it perfectly, because then the partner will start to resent you because you're denying them something that they've loved their whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as long as it's, as long as everyone participating is consensual and mm-hmm. it's not hurting anybody.
Consensually.
Exactly.
Because yeah, you mean BDSM.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Harming beyond repair.
Yeah.
I guess. Anyway, but do whatever you want. You know, whatever gets you. Fetishes are weird. It's not really a studied science. I've looked deep into it and there's not a lot there.
So I don't have like very weird fetishes.
Yeah.
But I have very, I don't know how to describe it. So mine are, my biggest turn on is, I have two, are guys' forearms, knuckles, and then my other one is I love watching a guy get soapy in the shower.
Really? Mm-hmm. You have a couple of those videos, don't you?
I made those videos too.
Yeah. Attract like-minded people, I suppose.
I found that. I've had fans be like, I have the same fetish.
Bet. They're like, thank you for doing this.
So what are yours?
Oh,
also tidy whiteys.
Mm, ooh. Yeah, hot. Mm. I have a pair of white briefs that I like to do Instagram pictures in because they're not branded. Mm. So it's like, you know, I hate to have a big logo when I'm not getting paid to do so. My fetishes, I like leather. I like toys a lot.
Okay. Those aren't fetishes. I don't even know if mine are fetishes.
Okay. Well, I like daddies and doctor stuff.
Okay, that's a fetish, lot of
medical stuff.
Yeah, okay, that is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if you're going to watch something online, it's very much like a sexy medical exam.
You know, I find they cycle, like, what I'm interested in looking at. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I really want to watch a daddy video. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I really want to watch a Dr. Fingerfuck video today.
So, where are you at right now
in your taste levels? I have recently been searching for a lot of groups of bears with a younger guy in the middle.
So, gay bears or actual physical bears?
Physical bears.
Just like mauling, eating alive.
Yeah. I like to see them like limbs detached, camper in the woods. Yeah.
It's a Wes Craven film
That's what gets me going. Yeah. Oh, no. Twilight Zone. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, you know, just like any conversation you have with a partner, you just kind of have to sit down and say like, hey, this is something I want to share with you, and it's a little bit vulnerable for me, so, you know, be patient with me with it, and then reveal it to them and talk from there about it.
So what's another question we had?
Well, we have so many wonderful questions. This is a pretty good one. This person said that I'm struggling with being in a relationship but also feeling guilty when I want to be alone.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, I love my alone time.
I think alone time is an important part of any relationship.
To the point, I don't know if I could ever actually live with someone.
Mm.
I think I would want to be with somebody. Yeah. I want to spend my life with them. I think if I were to let somebody move in, I would still want separate beds.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people that... No. I've heard a lot of people do that, and they love it. They're like, yeah, we have separate bedrooms, and sometimes we'll be frisky and we'll sleep together, but like we... Yeah, I think that's great.
Also, I think it's also just because I can't be with someone who snores. I'm a light sleeper.
Yeah, so, you are.
Yeah, and like if you're snoring, I'll just look over you and be like, I'm going to kill you in your sleep.
Yeah. Get him an apnea machine or... I know too many bears with apnea machines.
But that's why I just feel like... I like that about our generation, which is being like, hey, it's okay to maybe never move in together. Yeah. Or if you do separate bedrooms, it doesn't mean you don't love each other. It just means you don't have to smother each other.
There was a very... I think we were brought up with a very strict understanding of what a relationship has to look like.
There was no ways to go outside of it at all.
And I think that our generation, but I think especially gay people have... or LGBT people in general, LGBT plus, have really said, nah, that may not be for me.
That's not for us.
I'm going to kind of figure out what works best for me and fills me up like a glass of lemonade, you know? I think that there's a lot of, I know throuples that are very successful. I know open relationships that are very successful. But I think that, I mean, it all comes down to communication, which is heard over and over and over again. But, you know, you have to make sure that your partner or partner's feelings come first.
Do you have any friends who are in a happy relationship?
I have lots of friends in happy relationships, yeah.
Oh.
None here.
Yeah. That's what I was like.
They're all back in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
But I have friends in happy relationships.
I know you're one.
Thank you.
But, so I have one.
Yeah.
One example of a relationship.
I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know that many people here. Well, I also live in the Valley, so there's more here. I feel like it's a little bit more.
Is it love exists here more?
It's the Florida of LA. You kind of retire here sometimes. That was one thing I wrote down to talk to you about, was I feel like so many gay men want relationships, but there are so few people in relationships.
Yeah.
And I wonder where that disconnect comes in.
I don't understand, like, because it comes from a fear of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is... And, like, this is in my relationships. Yeah. I'm like, hey, we're open.
Yeah.
So, like, what are you really afraid of? All I'm asking is you to be like, let's try and be in an emotional relationship.
Yeah.
But even that is too much scarier work, and I don't get that.
I don't get it either. Because
from my mind, I'm like, you can still fuck whoever you want.
Yeah. Like, you're, like, at the end of the day, Dallas Steele's coming over because I got to make some films.
And I'm also saying, like, we don't have to move in because I want my own space.
Yeah.
So you can live wherever you want.
Yeah.
And I basically am just saying, I'm like, I just want you to at least text me back.
And as far as relationships go, you're like a 0% down, nothing down, 0% APR car. Mm-hmm. You're like, this is the bare minimum commitment here. The bare minimum commitment here. Just do that.
I will.
Do you think people get jealous of your career? And so, do you think that's a deterrent?
I've had that when I've tried to date guys who are not porn stars or OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, they'll always seem very like, oh, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Because they'll always say the same thing. They're like, it doesn't bother me because I also know you're an artist and, you know, you're more than that. Like, you're not just a porn star.
Does that hurt your feelings?
I used to like it back in the day until I started realizing, like, that's not a compliment.
No.
That's an insult.
Yeah. I mean, as a friend, I really value your artist side, but I also really value your OnlyFans side and everything you've done with that.
Thank you.
I don't see it as like a, you know, a like, oh, he has to do this to get by. I feel like it's something that you really built.
And so I also will see the guys that say that down the line of dating start to say comments like, so have you thought about like quitting? And then I realize you basically were hoping sooner or later I was going to just say, I'm going to drop it all for you.
Yeah.
Which I have actually tried many times.
Sure. Days,
where I've gone where I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll stop filming and I'll just focus on other things. And then I realize I'm trying to change myself for a guy.
Yeah. And you can never do that.
No.
You can grow. You can't change.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think he's a friend of yours too. Jeremy Luciato.
Yeah.
Incredible photographer. Creative. We were talking, we did a shoot. He's literally incredible. Like, he came to my apartment and he just shot all these, he used the light, the natural light, in ways I'd never seen it done before in my own apartment. I was like, wow, this guy is incredible.
Wait, was it a naked shoot?
No, it was, in a way. No front. I don't do front just because it's like the but last you sh- frontier but
you
show, for me.
You showed your butt.
Yeah, I showed my butt. Ooh. It's a, I mean,
do your TikTok users know?
It's a really good picture. I've never seen, it's on my Instagram. I've never seen such a good picture of me.
Was there a harness involved?
Not in any of the pictures I've seen, but I think I did put it on for, but then Starfucker was postponed because of the pandemic. Precinct's not open to sell out.
Oh, so this was going to be in Starfucker.
Mm-hmm. Back when I was skinny.
Before the pandemic.
Before I went to Popeyes every day. I fell in love with a chicken sandwich this quarantine.
Oh my, that's your relationship status?
It's so good. I'm in an open relationship. I have Will and the Popeyes chicken Popeyes sandwich. Popeyes and
McDonald's.
But he told me that they ended up shooting porn with a lot of straight guys because gay guys would get in a relationship and that their partner would want them to quit. Be like, you can't do this anymore.
It happens.
I believe it happens a lot. And that's, that makes me sad.
So now I've reached the point where if I start talking to a guy or anything,
yeah,
up front in the beginning, I'm very adamant. Like, I'll bring up in conversation casually somehow, but mm-hmm. I'll always say, like, I love my career and have absolutely no plan to quit it.
Yeah.
Just so it's up there so that they know, like, don't imagine that I'm going to quit for you and be that version of your love.
Right.
Because it's not going to happen. And you're just going to break both of our hearts.
How do you balance? This isn't a fan question either. This is just a Scott question. I'm inserting a couple. How do you balance sex as content and then, like, emotional relationship sex with a significant other?
Well,
is it different?
I'm alone, so this is a really great question to ask
me. But you've done it before, haven't you? Like, have you done them simultaneously?
I've been single for a while.
Well, who's ever?
Whoever's the next lucky bachelor, we'll
postpone this question.
This question for me, the last time I was in a relationship, mm-hmm. I wasn't even doing porn.
Really?
It's that long ago.
Really?
Yeah.
West Hollywood's hard. There's a lot of... LA's hard. The LA dating scene's hard.
Los Angeles greater area is hard.
California's hard.
You know what? The whole, like,
the
Western States region
of
the United States
is hard. Oh, this is a good one. I don't know if you've ever been a part of this, but tips on making an open relationship work. I mean, I kind of already said it, but I think your partner or partners need to come first. And I think
literally
they need to come first. You got to make them come and then you're good. No, I think in an open relationship, you need to be very clear on what the rules and boundaries are.
You also need to still be honest, because even though you're open, you can still cheat.
You can still cheat. You definitely can still cheat even if you're in an open relationship. Absolutely.
Which is also sad when that happens. I'm always, I've seen that happen. I'm like, you've been given everything and you still manage to cheat.
You still want more. Yeah, that's why I don't think cheating is necessarily like a, I don't think it's a sex thing.
It's just the dishonesty part. That's why you can do it even in open relationship. You can still cheat.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you could say, like, in our open relationship, like, sex is okay, but it can't be emotional. I mean, I know people that are really strict and they're like, you can't kiss. That's a little much for me. Like, if you're, you know, if you're playing ball, you're gonna have to run, like, the bases.
I think I would just have rules, like, things like you can't hold hands or things like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's just very, to me, that's intimate.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd separate. Like, I would say sex is allowed, but not intimacy.
Yeah. And I feel like that line has to be, I'll really open up here. My parents' marriage ended because my dad cheated on my mom. And I had a very, like, my relationship with cheating then was like, that's disgusting. Mm-hmm. How can you be someone like that? But as I grew up and evolved and, like, met friends that were in various types of relationships, I really realized that cheating is not, I don't think you're this horrible, absolute adulterer sinner if you cheat. I think it's, it to me shows that something's not going well in the relationship, and I think it's the unfortunate end result of a lot of missed opportunities for communication.
Well, also think about this, because, like, I've had that issue when I've gone home. Mm-hmm. Not issue, I've noticed that when I've gone home to, like, my small town, and there'll be one of the neighbors going through a divorce, and she's like, I hate my ex-husband, he kissed another woman. And I think in my head, I'm like, you also used to say this was your best friend.
Yeah.
You love him, but because he kissed another woman, you now hate him.
Yeah.
Imagine if the straights were told, hey, did you ever think about being open? That, like, what if they started embracing that and not deciding to end relationships? because of what they were told you had to end the relationship.
Straight people are very jealous of us. I have, like, told my straight friends, like, oh, yeah, the bathhouse. When I used to go to the bathhouse, they're like, what's a bathhouse? I'm like, oh, well, it's this, like, club that you can go in and then, like...
have as much sex as you want.
Yeah, you have, like, a ton of sex with people, but there's also, like, a steam room and a jacuzzi and a pool and, like,
a gym.
Yeah, in a gym. They have to have a gym. And it's, like, kind of fun. Like, sometimes you'll have sex with people, and then sometimes you'll, like, chat with people at the pool, and then you'll go have sex with more people. And they're like, what? Why don't we have that? They're so jealous.
I'm like, because you guys have rights.
Yeah. We didn't have marriage for a long time, so we got bathhouses instead. Okay, God divvied it out. Somebody asked us, how do you know when it's time to end things?
Ooh, that's hard, because usually, by the time you think it's time, it was time a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because you ignored already so many red flags that you've changed into, you know, he meant this.
Yeah.
Nobody means something and does something. Like, what you're being told and what you see is exactly as it is. Yeah. Stop analyzing it.
Yeah.
And just give up. I know it sounds sad.
No,
like, it should never be a fight.
Right.
To make a relationship work. Never.
No.
And all the couples that say, like, yes, you got to put in the work. I've watched every single one of them, and you're like, no, because you guys have never made it.
Yeah, the work to me is just being honest about your feelings.
Honest about your feelings and, like, keep being active in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But the work should not be figuring out how to not hate or get hurt by this person.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I went through a couple bumps, obviously, is this has been a very trying time for everyone. But one of the things was, like, every time, because we talk on the phone every night, every time I see the phone light up with his picture, I get excited to talk to him.
That's insanely adorable.
But that's one of the reasons, like, you know, through any doubts, I know it's like, at the end of the day, who he is really the one for me. Ew. But how do you know when to end things? You know, I think it's when you don't have that feeling anymore. I heard someone say that, like, when you're not excited when they come home.
I know. Honestly, I think what you just said now, describing how when you light up when you see him calling,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have that feeling, it's done.
Yeah.
Reach inside deep in your soul. And when you think of that person, you don't light up.
Yeah.
It's gone.
And you can't really get it back.
No, you could just make, at that point, you can make it livable, survivable.
Yeah, right.
But it's not lovable.
I know far too many people in, like, marriages that I just feel like are dead. Like, they don't like each other very much. Like, either they're together for the kids, or then the kids have, like, graduated college and live on their own. I'm like, why are you still doing this?
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of just fooling yourself. And I know
Insta couples that are like that.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, you guys hate each other.
Yeah.
But you gotta look like you're in love for Instagram.
I mean, I don't know if it's just dirty little rumors, but I've heard about every YouTuber Instagram couple. I've heard some secrets.
Where they basically just, they're like, they're staying a couple just for their followers.
Sometimes it's, they're staying a couple just for their followers, or it's not as happy as it looks, which, of course, you're only going to share the good things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to share, like, a fight or anything like that. Well, Matthew Lush used to.
That's a different fight.
That's
a meth binge.
Oh boy. Yeah, I mean, you know, social media always makes things look better than they actually are.
Would you guys ever become an Insta couple? Like, as in, like, start a separate account just for you as a couple?
I don't think so.
Be called, like, the Otter Bunch family or something?
It's hard, because then your relationship becomes a business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He'll guest star on my TikTok sometimes. He'll want to do one with me. We'll do something cute, but I don't, you know, like, people like Chris and Ian on TikTok. Do you know them on TikTok?
Mm.
Chris Olsen, they're very famous on TikTok. I think they both genuinely enjoy, like, it's enjoyable time for them making the videos together. And I would hope that if it became not enjoyable, they would, like, figure out a different avenue to keep their account going and not put that pressure on themselves.
Yeah.
But they both seem to be individually very into making TikToks and that kind of stuff. Will, he twitches. He really likes streaming on Twitch.
He twitches, he shakes. He twitches.
Every time I'm like, he's twitching. So he enjoys that aspect of it, but I don't think that, like, the daily posting, the, like, okay, I have to go to Party City and get us this and that so we can, I think he would really resent that. So I don't want to put that kind of pressure on him. Also, I don't need it for the views. I'm a star on my own, baby.
Well, I just can't even do it because I'm alone.
I don't. Hey, who knows?
I should just make a fake boyfriend on Instagram.
Here's another thing that I like. People are like, how do I find a boyfriend? And I'm like, you know, it's gonna happen when it happens. But you have to make. You can't expect someone to come into your life and fix it. You have to make your life one that you enjoy living and one that someone else would enjoy being a part of. And then, if you build it, they will come. Figuratively, also literally. I just feel like you're the whole package, Teddy Bear.
Thank you.
What's the hang up? The boys in the 24-hour steam room aren't all fawning?
I don't know.
Maybe we'll do a whole episode series where we...
Find me a boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Data Bear. Build a boyfriend workshop.
A spin-off series. Oh my God. Call Bravo. Call Logo.
All right. Well, on that note,
we're about at time.
We're out of time.
Do you want to say any final thoughts to the viewers or listeners? I would say viewers.
The viewers, the listeners, the lovers out there.
To all the lovers out there that have come before.
I say, don't give up.
Don't give up.
I haven't, but when I do, you should too.
That's fair. Thank you for listening, everyone. This is Scott Frenzel and Teddy Bear with Bear With Us. Girl. We will see you next Thursday.